And to sing the next song that has been announced, we want to encourage any among us who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let him add you to his church, or to confess of an erring way of which you've repented, or even if you just need prayer for any reason in your life or in the life of someone else, we encourage you to let it be made known. And if you care not to verbalize your prayer request, we have prayer request forms available in the pocket of the pew in front of where you're sitting. Please take one of those and fill them out with your needs, and we will acknowledge those requests, and they will be prayed for. So again, I'm just so grateful to be here, and I know you're grateful to be here, and I trust again that the things that we do will please our Heavenly Father. This is the fourth Sunday, and each fourth Sunday we sort of devote it to what we call Evangelism Emphasis Day, and we are just so glad that you're here, and if you, especially if you're visiting with us and you came as a guest of someone, we thank you for honoring their request to come and to be with you. Or if you just came of your own volition, we're just so thankful that you came to be with us today. And especially if you're not a member of the body of Christ, the church that you can read about in the New Testament, we're going to be talking about some things today that hopefully will help all of us to understand what the will of God is for us in our lives. We're reminded of what Matthew recorded, the words of Jesus in Matthew 7 and verse 21, when he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." If we want to enter heaven, we must do the will of the Father which is in heaven. And Jesus came to express unto us his will. We are living in the New Testament times, and Jesus has ratified the New Testament with his blood, and we are now amenable to the New Testament. Yes, we learn from the Old Testament, but what God wants us to do to please him now is found in the New Testament, and we must obey God's will if we expect to be a part of heaven's jubilee. So I thank you for being here this morning, and I hope again the things that we share will be helpful to all of us. Matthew chapter 16, some familiar passages to those of us who are members of the Church of Christ. We've been hearing these passages, I'm sure, ever since the day we obeyed the gospel, and even before then. So we are familiar with these passages. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16. Now, these scriptural texts that were read by Brother Terrence Abrams this morning, they give us the foundational truths upon which Christ promised to build his church. That is the confession that Peter made in verse number 16. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus says, "Upon this rock, or this truth, that I am the Son of God, I will build my church." And ever since his church became a reality, according to Acts chapter 2, ever since his church became a reality, there have been many, many others that have started with all kinds of different teaching. And so inquiring minds began to ask questions about these different teachings. And perhaps you have asked this question yourself, or you may have been asked this question by someone else. What does your church teach? Perhaps you've been asked that question. And maybe you have asked that question. What does your church teach? Well, I think it's a very good question. And it needs an answer.
So in order then to deal with this topic that I have prepared for us this morning, if someone would ask you, what does, that is you, all of us who are members of the Church of Christ, what does the Church of Christ teach? Well, to give an answer to that question, I want to begin with that particular question, and I want to end with another question. So I want to start with the question, what does the Church of Christ teach? And I want to end with a question, how are we, or how are you, or how are we going to respond to what it teaches? What does the Church of Christ teach? Well, you know, if you want to really be technical about it, the church doesn't teach anything. The church is just a mailman. You know, when you and I go out to the mailbox and we pick up our letters, the mailman just delivers the letter. He or she, I guess I shouldn't say mailman now, but the delivery person doesn't and didn't write the letter. They just delivered it. So if you want to be technical about it, we can say the church doesn't teach anything. But since we're in the business of making known what God's will is to people, then we'll answer it like this, that the Church of Christ, and I'm talking about the truth, those that are true to the teaching of Christ, the Church of Christ only teach what the Bible teach. The Church of Christ only teach what the Bible teach. You see, the Bible is God's message to mankind. Man is in a lost condition. Ever since that forbidden tree was partaken of, man has been in a lost condition. But God, in his infinite love, even before the foundation of the world, knew this was going to happen. So he devised a plan to reconcile, to bring man back to him. And he makes known that plan through his word. And he has given his word to men. And men just deliver the word. So, the Church of Christ then, being composed of men, and when I say men, I'm talking about mankind, people, we've been given that responsibility to just deliver God's message, God's mail. So it is a message then to mankind, and that message is a message of reconciliation. Reconciliation. Sin, you see, caused man to become separated from God, and God wanted to reconcile, wanted to bring man back to him. And so God gave man a message so that if he obeys that message, he can be brought back to him. And because God gave that message, God doesn't want his message tampered with. You don't want the delivery person who is delivering your mail say, well, I think I'm going to just open up this letter and I'm going to mess with it a little bit. You wouldn't like that, would you? What do you think about God? Do you think that God appreciates man messing with his message? That's why, again, I said the Church of Christ only teach what the Bible teach. Nothing more and nothing less. Only teach what the Bible teach. You know, the Bible makes it so plain. that God doesn't want his message tampered with. There are three specific places in the Bible, and maybe we'll just look at one this morning, that indicates God does not want his message messed with, tampered with. He doesn't want it bothered. Just take it the way it is. When God's chosen people, the Israelites, had gotten into the land of promise, God gave them some instructions. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 1 and 2, look at what the Bible says here. And I want you to write down two other scriptures. We're not going to look at those, but they say basically the same thing. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. And sometimes when I refer to these scriptures, I say it like this, that it just seemed like God didn't want us to miss it. Because he put it near the beginning of the Bible, he put it almost in the middle of the Bible, and he put it at the end of the Bible. So God doesn't want us to miss that. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 1, listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Now therefore, hearken," listen. "Listen, O Israel." We need to listen to what the Lord says to us. He says, "Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." Now, we just sung about heaven's jubilee. All of these songs, Brother Malone said, we're singing about going to heaven this morning. We shall rise. Hallelujah. We shall rise. We all one day want to end up in heaven. So God says to his people back in Old Testament times, "I'm giving you something so that you'll be blessed and you'll be able to go in and live and possess what I prepared for you." Jesus left here over 2,000 years ago and went back to heaven, and he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Now, if we want to go there and live, we're going to have to listen. We're going to have to hearken. We're going to have to listen to what the Lord says. And so he says, "Listen to what I'm saying, Israel." And then verse number 2, he says this. He says, "You shall not act unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught or anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I give you, I command you." So God says, don't add, don't take away from it, don't mess with my message. Take it just the way I gave it to you. And so, what does the Church of Christ teach? The true Church of Christ does not add to, does not take away. It teach God's word just like we received it. Why? Because we are under that prohibition, that warning from God. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And so when you read Proverbs 30 and verse 5 and 6, when you read Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, it'll say basically the same thing. So we only teach what the Bible teach. And to make it even more clearer, in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10 and 11, notice what Peter was inspired to write. Peter says, "As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Go back to that verse. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Do you know what a steward is? I'm sure you do. A steward is just a manager. Is one just to take care of. somebody else's goods. So the word don't belong to us. It belongs to God. We're just to take care of it. Just manage it the way he wanted us to manage it. And he's told us how he wants us to manage it in Deuteronomy chapter 4 that we just studied. He says, manage it just the way I gave it to you. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just manage it. You're a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Now, why do I point that out? Because the word is a result of the grace of God. You know what Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Ephesians chapter 20 and verse 32? He said, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You know why we got the word of God? Because of grace. It's a gift of grace. God has given his word because he loves us. And he wants us again to be a part of that heaven's jubilee. He wants us to come home and to live with him. And so then, we are to manage this grace of God, this word of God. And so he goes on in verse number 11, and he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the what? Oracles of God. The oracles simply means the word of God. So whatever we say, whatever we teach, whatever we do, whatever we practice, it must be according to the word of God. Because we ought to be a good steward, a manager of the manifold wisdom of God. And that's what the church is all about. According to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 10, we are to make known the manifold wisdom of God. So the church of Christ only teach what the Bible teach. You see, after all, the Bible is perfect in revelation. So why do we need to add to it? Why do we need to take away from it? It's already just right. We can't make it any more right than what it is. Matter of fact, if we mess with it, we will make it all wrong. So we must not then mess with the word of God. It's perfect in its revelation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So God gave us his perfect revelation. Therefore, we don't need any human input into it. I'm so glad that Peter didn't inject any human input into his answer. When Jesus asked him, whom do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter didn't inject any human input into it. He took what revelation said. It was revealed to him by God in heaven that Jesus was the Son of God. And Peter left it just the way God revealed it to him. I'm glad that he didn't get ahead of himself like he did in Matthew chapter 17. You know, at one time, he got ahead of himself. In Matthew 17, he says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The Bible says, while he yet spake, bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came from that cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So on the course of Caesarea Philippi, Peter listened to what revelation said. He didn't inject his own human input into it. So oftentimes today, people are injecting their own human input into the word of God. So I say to us again today, whatever the Lord says, that's what we must say. We must not add to it. We must not take it away. Otherwise, we will offer unto people a perverted message, a twisted message a message that doesn't mean what the Lord meant for it to mean. So that's why Paul, when he wrote to the church at Galatia, who were being plagued by false teachers, he said to them in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you unto the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So then, we must not pervert the word of God. We've just got to say what God says. We've got to teach it the way God gave it to us in his book. So what does the Church of Christ teach? It only teach what the Bible teach. But there are reasons why we do it that way. Just want to share with you a few reasons this morning why we do it that way. Number one, we do it that way because it is our only source of authority in religious matters. That's the only place you can go for authority in religious matters is to the Word of God. No other book can we go to get authority to do what we do and to say what we say and to practice what we practice if we're going to please God. The Bible, God's Word, is the only source of authority. The reason why I know it's the only source of authority is because it's been settled in heaven. We ain't got nothing to do with it. It's been settled in heaven. Psalms 119 and verse 89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled there. So since it's settled in heaven, there's no need for us to have a convention. There's no need for us to assemble in a synod. There's no need for us to get together in a conference to decide on what we're going to do in a certain situation. God's word has already settled that. We don't have to get together and decide whether homosexuality is wrong or right. God's word has already decided that. We don't have to get together and to decide on whether we should have or have not women preachers. God's word has already settled that. And we could go on and on with various issues that people are being challenged by. Just go to God's word and teach it the way God has taught us to teach it. We must then not look to any other thing other than the word of God. You know, many religious organizations, they have their creeds. They have their manuals. Let's see what the creed says. Let's see what the manual says. Well, we have the greatest creed there ever is, the Word of God. Let's go and see what the Word of God says. The Word of God has already been settled in heaven. So again, we just need to listen again to what God has said, just like he told Israel in the long ago. We need to listen to what the Lord says to us today. Again, as I said earlier, that we are in New Testament times and we are amenable to the New Testament. We are amenable to what Christ taught his apostles and men of inspiration. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, we find these words. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his dear Son. Jesus is God's spokesman. So if we want to know how to please God, just find out what Jesus says. Jesus is God's spokesman. So we are to listen to him. No wonder the scripture says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only by the name of Christ. Only by the power of Christ. Only by the authority of Christ. Because Christ is the one that has all authority. So we need to listen to God in his word in the New Testament, because it is our only source of authority. in religious matters. No wonder Paul, when he wrote to the church at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 17, he says this, "And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all by the authority or by the name or in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Everything we do must be backed up by the authority of Jesus Christ. You know why we don't have a piano in here in this worship service? Because we don't have no authority. You know why, again, Sister Branch is not standing up here preaching this morning? We don't have no authority. You know why we have the communion? I'd rather choose not to do the communion every now and then, because we don't have that authority. The Lord says his communion needs to be done every first day of the week. God's word teaches us what we're to do, what we're to practice, how we're to live, how we're to act, how we're to talk. We only teach, again, what the Bible teaches, because it is God's only source of authority in religious matters. And when we follow that which is authorized, this is another reason why we only teach that. We teach only what the Bible teaches, so that we can be sure to follow the pattern of all things that he wants us to do to please him. Now notice I said he. Did you hear I put emphasis on what he wants? Because you know, in the religious world or in the world in general, most folks go by what they want to do. They don't care nothing about what God wants to do. They go by what makes them feel good, how they think about something, maybe even how they were taught about something. But again, if it's not according to the word of God, we need to leave it alone. Don't go on your emotions. Yes, we are emotional beings, but don't let emotions guide the direction in which we go. We make sure that God's word teaches that, and then be glad about it if we find that God's word teaches. So people go on their own emotions, and they do what they want to do. We must do what God wants us to do. The Lord said this, talking about pattern, in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Notice what the Bible says here. It says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens." He's talking about Jesus Christ in this passage. He says, "A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is a necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law." Verse 5 says this, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern show thee in the mount." I want to tell us this morning, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, God had a pattern in the Old Testament. He got a pattern in the New Testament. He got a way. He wants things to be done. And he said to Moses, "You make sure that you make this tabernacle just like I showed you in the mount. Don't you add to anything. Don't you jump in there and say, well, I think it ought to be done like this. You do it just like I told you." So he comes to the Hebrew Christians here now, and he references back there. And he tells them that you need to make sure that things are made according to the pattern. And I want to tell us this morning that the apostles gave us the pattern. We have the pattern. The apostles gave us the pattern as to how we are to worship, what we are to do, what we are to say, how we are to live. They gave us the pattern. talking about what does the Church of Christ teach? You know what the word doctrine means? Teaching. When we go to Acts chapter 2, after the church had its beginning, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Where did the apostles get their doctrine from? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's where they got the doctrine from. That's where they got the pattern from. And they passed the pattern on to the early Christians. And the Bible says they continued steadfast. So that means they didn't waver to the left or to the right. They didn't add that little two cents to it. But they just did what the apostles taught them. That's why on the first day of the week, they knew they had to come together to break bread. Because the apostles had taught them that. They had set the pattern for them. That's why they gave according as they had purpose in their heart. Because the apostles taught them that. That's why they sang without the accompaniment of mechanical instrument music. Because the apostles taught them that. Everything they did, they got it from the apostles. And the apostles made sure that the church had the pattern. So when Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17, he says, for this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring to your remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, which I teach everywhere in every church. Paul says, I teach the same thing everywhere in every church. I would to God that the same thing would be taught in every church today, and that same thing would be according to the will of God. But you and I know so well this morning that the same thing is not taught in every church. There are some churches out there that teach. Again, it's all right to have women preachers. There are some churches out, if one teach, everybody ought to teach it, if it's right. There are some churches out there that teach baptism is not necessary for salvation. If one teach it, everybody ought to teach it, if it's right. The thing about it is just not right. So Paul says, I teach the same thing everywhere in every church. Paul was teaching people according to the pattern. And we need to stick with the pattern. So then, that's why we teach nothing but what the Bible teaches, so that we can be sure that we make things, that we do things according to the pattern. And then the last reason I want to offer this morning why we teach what we teach is because we're going to be judged by the word of God. Now notice I just said we're going to be judged by what we teach. I said we're going to be judged by the word of God. Which means if we don't teach the right thing, we're going to be in trouble. So we're going to be judged by the word of God. Now who is God's spokesman? I just shared with us as we all read it in Hebrews chapter 1. That God's spokesman is Christ. Christ has taught us, and we have his word revealed to us in the New Testament. So he has taught us what we are to do, how we are to live, how we are to act. In the last day, we're going to be judged by the word of Christ. This is what the Bible says in John chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus says, he that rejected me. He had just talked about some rulers that believed on him, but they would not confess him. Now he gets down here now, and basically they were rejected him because they failed to confess him. So he gets down here in verse 48, he says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word has one that judges him for the word that I have spoken. Did you get that? The word that I. Why? Because the I there is Jesus. Jesus is God's spokesman. God has put him in charge. So he says, the word that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors? Jesus says, my words that I've spoken to you are going to judge you. Where do we get Jesus' word from? The New Testament. The word of God. Those words are going to be the very words that are going to judge us. And Jesus goes on in the next verse and says, I didn't speak of myself, but the one that sent me gave me a command. In other words, he told me what to say. And I just delivered his message. I started off talking about we're just messengers. We just carrying God's message. We're not speaking of ourselves. Or we shouldn't be.
We should just be speaking what God has told us to say.
So Jesus said, I didn't speak of myself. God told me what to say. So I just passed it along. He just passed it along. And so he's going to judge. His word is going to judge us. Not only is his word going to judge us, but he's going to be the one sitting there doing it. The Bible says this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. For we must all appear before the what?
Judgment
seat of Christ. Christ is going to be sitting right there judging us by his word. The words that he has spoken. He's not going to come up with something new, Brother James, in the last day. He says the words that I have spoken. I've already told you these things. Now you got to live by them. Because those are going to be the things that I'm going to judge you by. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things that are done in his body. According to that he has done, whether it be good or evil. In Acts chapter 17, those people in the city of Athens on Mars Hill, they were reminded of the very same thing, that Jesus is going to be that judge. Acts 17 and verse 30, the Bible said, at the time of his ignorance, God winked at. But now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance, in that he has raised him from the dead. Who was it? Jesus Christ. So Jesus is going to be there sitting on the judgment seat, judging us by the words that he has said. So if we are really thinking rational and really wanting to be a part of that heaven's jubilee, it just makes sense then for us to obey what the Lord says. So as I close out this morning with a question, I said, I started with a question, closing out with a question. The question is then, how will you and I respond to what the Bible teach? The Church of Christ only teach what the Bible teach. So the question is, how will you and I respond to what the Bible teach? You know, the choice is ours. God's not going to force us. Nobody else are not going to force us. Okay, I should say can't force us. They may try, but they can't force us. The choice is yours, and the choice is mine. Just like Joshua said to God's people of old, he said, you got a choice. He said, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. So I'm asking us this morning, consider what choice you're going to make. Are you going to respond to what the Word of God teach? Are you going to respond to your feeling and do what you want to do? How are you going to respond to what the Lord teach? Well, when it comes to the church, when it comes to the church that the Lord established, how are you going to respond to it? Are you going to be in the some say crowd? You notice how the passage began this morning that Terrence read? When Jesus came into the course of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You notice what he said? Some say. Some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say thou art Jeremiah. Some say thou art one of the prophets. Are you going to be in that some say this morning? Well, I want to tell us this morning that that some say crowd still exists. Some are still saying today that one church is as good as another. Some are still saying, as I've said already, that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Some saying that faith only you can be saved. Some say this and some say that. Some say there are many ways. But what do you say? You ought to say
the same thing that Peter said
when he said, "Thou art the Christ." You know why he said that? Because God said it. You know, so again, the scripture says, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven." So the Father, God Almighty, said, "This is my Son." He is the Christ. Peter just repeated what was revealed to him. That's the same thing we ought to do in religious matters today. We ought to just conform our lives to what the Lord says, not to what somebody else says, but what the Lord says. So when Jesus says, "Upon this rock, I will build my church," Jesus was saying, in essence, "I'm going to build one church for the whole human race." Somebody said, "How is that possible? How in the world could everybody in the world be members of the same church?" Do you get your mail? One postal system will deliver a letter anywhere. You can understand that. You can understand why the Lord, in all his wisdom, can design a system that can save everybody. The Lord says, "I'm going to build one church." And the Lord wants everybody to be a member of that one church. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, just write it down. I want to just briefly tell you what it says. That God made him the head over the church, which is his body. Ephesians 4:4, he says, "There is one body." Ephesians 3:6 says, the Lord wants everybody to be members of the same body. So he built one church, which is his body. He's the head of that one church. He wants everybody to be a member of the same church because that's the institution he's going to save, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. So if you want to be saved, it makes sense to be a member of that which he's going to save. Now, why did I say that? Because that's what the Bible says. I didn't add anything to it. I didn't take anything away from it. It's all right there in the book. I'm just delivering the message. How will you respond to what the Lord says concerning his church? How are you going to respond to how you're going to live your life? Well, the Bible says this in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live how? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." That tells us how we're to live. Are we striving our best to live like God says? Are we going to live like we feel? So many folks live like they feel. You know. "You lie to me, then, well, since I found out you lied to me, I'm going to lie to you." That's living like I feel. "You mistreated me, so I'm going to mistreat you." That's living like I feel. But the Bible says I'm to live righteously. Wonder if God would treat us the way we treated him. But God is a righteous God. And we mess up all the time, I should say. But he loves us anyway. And he blesses us anyway. Can we find that kind of love in our lives, one to another? Or again, are we just going to keep on living the way we feel? You find this in all kinds of relationships. Marital relationships. Family, broad family, spectrum family relationships. Church relationships. Job relationships. We're not to live like we feel. We are to live like God wants us to feel. So we live like his word teaches us. We are to live righteously and godly in this present world. How are we going to respond to what the Bible teaches? The Church of Christ only teach what the Bible teaches. Would you respond then to what the word of God teaches? The word of God teaches us that in order to be saved, you need to hear and believe the gospel. You need to repent of your past sins. You need to confess your faith in Jesus Christ. You need to go down in a water grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Would you then do that this morning? That's what the Bible teaches. Do what the Bible says. Because in the end, that's what we're going to be faced with. What the Bible says. Would you come and obey the Lord this morning? You already remember the body of Christ, but somehow you find yourself walking contrary to the will of God. Again, you're living like you feel. Throw that out the window, please. And live like God wants you to feel by obeying His word. So if that's something that you need to repent of, turn away from it. If you need to confess, we beg you to come this morning. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, we're begging you to come. Come right now while we stand.